This is Jack Shalom. Things are not what they appear to be. Every era has its predominant form of art that responds to and speaks to its age. In America, at one time, the great American novel was what every sensitive soul aspired to. Later, youngsters wanted to be rock stars as music became the motive force of the age. Afterwards, film was deemed art, and everyone wanted to be a film director. And eventually, the music of the streets, rap, and hip-hop became the kind of art that all the cool kids wanted to pursue. But I want to make a pitch today for a different kind of art form to represent our present age, one which is usually relegated to the lesser variety arts like juggling or ventriloquism, and that is the art of magic. It may sound strange, but I feel that magic speaks to us today in a unique way. If there's any one message that art needs to say over and over again today, it's that things are not what they appear to be. In 2022, we live in the lap of deception, deceit, and propaganda. And it's not even covert anymore. It's out in the open for all to see. The deep state is hardly deep anymore. The CIA and the NSA have Twitter pages and recruitment ads on YouTube. Their directors and agents are all over MSNBC, CNN, and Fox as supposed news sources and even anchors. Each day we have government toadies in front of us telling us that we must go to war, telling us that the future of our children and ourselves are worth nothing. But somehow we have billions to spend on tanks and drones and ammunition. We're facing one of the most incredible onslaughts of propaganda ever, delivered to the cell phones in our pockets with deep penetration into our daily lives. And they lie and lie and lie. It's not that we can't handle the truth. We have no idea what the truth is anymore. We are building our lives on false premises and unwarranted assumptions and incomplete information, no matter how clever we think we are, no matter how clearly we think we think. What can be done? It's disheartening, but experience and research shows that simply giving people more facts does surprisingly little to change their beliefs. The research shows that rather than being swayed by opposing factual arguments, people dig in even deeper into supporting their beliefs. This is what psychologists call cognitive immunization. If you show people that they're wrong about something important, they only cling to their positions more tightly. We all find a way to hold on to our positions. We live in a world so dangerous and we have so little left that we can call our own, that to take our defenses down is to be stripped naked. We can't let that happen. We have to cling to our carefully constructed worldview, even if it has some holes in it. We feel that we can't possibly afford to give in to doubt now. But doubt is what we need now if we are to survive. All-consuming doubt. Doubt about everything, about everyone, but most of all, doubt about all our conclusions and beliefs. The Buddhist teaching is that if you meet Buddha on the road, kill him. Believe no teachers. Cultivate a beginner's mind. Don't know is the answer to all questions. You can only begin to see clearly when your mind is calm and free from any preconceptions whatsoever. Can we put ourselves into a position where we abandon all positions so that we may actually come to see what is before us? We all respond to the latest news. What is our position? What's my team's position? What should I think? What does my team leader think? How do we just see clearly or get into a place where we don't worry about our position, but just see what's there? First, we have to understand above all that things are not what they appear to be. We have to be humbled and have self-doubt. Doubt is what we need. that is why, as much as I love theater, film, and music, the art we need most today is magic. Now, I don't mean Harry Potter magic or black magic, but magic done for the purpose of entertainment, either on the stage or maybe even close up at someone's dining room table. So from now on, when I speak of magic and magicians, I'm speaking of magic for entertainment, the magic of David Copperfield and David Blaine. I like watching magic because it's a humbling experience. If it's done well, it reminds its audience that what we think we know, we don't, that nothing is what it appears to be. And it has nothing to do with intelligence. It has to do with the nature of human psychology and perception. When magicians are successful, they not only entertain you, but get across the meta message that you have no idea how the world really works. Your senses and logic are a thing of shreds and patches. They can be easily tricked. Things are not what they appear to be. If one purpose of magic is to teach us that we can't trust our senses, then why don't magicians just expose their tricks to their audiences? And there are several reasons why not. First, the methods of magic for the most part are quite mundane, not nearly as exotic as a spectator might imagine. And if you were to find out that you were deceived by such a puny apparatus or principle, you would get angry first at yourself for being fooled and then at the magician for using such humdrum means. You don't want to peek behind the scenes at a magic show. It will inevitably be disappointing. Lots of people labor mightily to present an illusion, and why pull apart the butterfly's wings to understand how it flies? But worse, exposing a trick does very little to stop an audience member from being fooled again by another method, or even the very same method. The very fact of the audience member's expectation is used against them. One well-known magician's gambit is to tell an audience that most magicians do this trick by doing such and such, but I would never do such and such. And then they go on right ahead with doing such and such with a slight modification, and the audience is fooled again. The audience's downfall was that they thought they were in the know, but they weren't. The con man plays the same game, after all. The very term con man is short for confidence man. Once you think you know, it was really Russia that was behind that stolen election. No, you've been fooled again. But magic is much kinder than the con man or CIA reporter. For one, it gives you entertainment in return. But more importantly, for our purposes, you go home not with answers. You get no answers. But you are filled with the feeling of magic. Now, what is that feeling? According to the great contemporary magician Whit Hayden, that feeling might best be understood by comparing it to what happens to an audience watching a play in a theater. Now, in the theater, we make a deal with the actors that we will, as Coleridge said, willingly suspend our disbelief. That is, we know the story up there is not real, but we'll play along willingly and we'll respond as if the story were real. Now, the key phrase here is the willing suspension of disbelief. We do it when we read a novel and we do it when we go to the movies. So if we go to see a production of, say, The Cherry Orchard, we don't angrily demand our money back because the only trees around are painted on a piece of swaying canvas. We don't cry fake if the actor playing Peter Pan has wires attached that can be seen. We can still enjoy the story because we act as if the story were real. We don't complain at The Lion King that the giraffes weren't really giraffes and so on. We willingly suspend our disbelief in order to enter into a fictive world. But a magic entertainment tries to do exactly the opposite. The magician doesn't ask you to willingly suspend your disbelief. The magician asks instead that you keep your disbelief. Don't go into some fictive world, the magician says, but stay here with me in the here and now, and I'll still show you something in this shared reality that will put your mind into a dilemma. Because when the magician makes the card rise from the deck with no apparent physical agency, the spectator's mind has to deal with the following dilemma, this contradiction. On the one hand, I know what I just saw is impossible. Yet on the other, I just saw proof of it before my eyes. Oh, wait, he did it with threads. No, he enclosed the deck in a glass jar. Well, maybe the deck had a motor in it. No, I shuffled the deck. So the spectator goes through this in his mind and keeps coming back to the same dilemma. On the one hand, I know that what I just saw is impossible. Yet on the other hand, I just saw proof of it before my eyes. And it's that clash that creates the feeling of magic in spectators. In Whit Hayden's words, quote, "The confrontation with the impossible creates a dilemma that can't be resolved with deductive logic. This creates a burr under the saddle of the brain that causes cognitive dissonance. There is no such thing as the impossible, yet I just saw the impossible." Unquote. This is the doubt that leads spectators into considering that their assurance and worldview might just be flawed. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than your philosophy. Now, for some people, this can be very unpleasant news. The magician sugarcoats the experience by having an engaging personality and presents mysteries of wonder. He or she doesn't seek to batter down any belief as strong as, say, a political belief, because just the vanish of a coin can be more challenging to our worldview than a three-volume critique of one's politics. It's one reason why some people don't like magic shows. There are some things we don't like to be reminded of, and the gaps in our narratives about the world around us is one of them. Magicians have a saying, misdirection works. What they mean by that is that there are certain principles of deception that work even when you are aware of the principle. If you understand how propaganda works, but think you are immune from its effects, then you don't understand how propaganda works. The fish doesn't know that it is swimming in a sea of water, and we don't understand that we too are swimmers, swimming in a sea of assumptions that we never know are there, let alone think to question. Watching magic is a little wake-up call to ourselves, like a bird bumping into its reflection in a mirror. Things are not what they appear to be. This is Jack Shalom for Arts Express with host Prairie Miller.